You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is part of our message series, Repeat After Me. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. We're glad that you've chosen to be with us today. And I just want to give a shout out to all of our campuses, Worcester and Canton and Dover and Millersburg and Coshocton. We're glad that you've chosen to be here today. We think that we have something that's going to be very, very helpful to you because we're in this series called Repeat After Me. Repeat After Me. And what we're doing is we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And what we're finding is that when Jesus taught them this prayer, it wasn't something that he wanted them just to say, but he was teaching them a pattern. And I believe that if you were to ask the disciples, what was Jesus' secret in living in alignment, okay, with his Father's will and power to be able to face life's challenges, I think they would blurt out, probably before you and I finished asking the question, they would say, prayer. It was prayer. We would watch him. He would go and he would be by himself and he would get up early in the morning and he would go and pray. And the key, the secret of him staying in alignment with his heavenly Father and experiencing his power so that he could handle what life threw at him was prayer. Now last week we started off and we said, you know, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we talked about the person of prayer. The person of prayer. That our Father in heaven is a good Father. He loves you and he loves me. And he's filled with greatness. There's not just one name for him because it's not sufficient. And now today what we want to look at is the petition of prayer. Once we know the person of prayer, what do we do next? How do we approach this? And what are we asking for? And here's what I want us to get. And you can follow along in your note-taking guide, by the way, okay? Because we're breaking down the Lord's Prayer. Here's what Jesus said. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. Thy kingdom come, or your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is powerful. I don't know if we fully understand what we're praying when we say these words. Because basically what we're saying is this. May up there come down here. May you set things in order down here the way in which you have set things in order up there. May your power, may your will be done here. And so we want to be able to understand this so we know what we're asking for. Because we're basically asking God to set order on earth. And so you know, and I know, that we live in a broken world, right? Would you agree with me there? That's why Jesus was teaching them how to pray this. Pray thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because we live in a broken world. And we know that life brings us many different things, right? Because we live in a broken world. We know that life brings what? Unexplainable pain. Anybody experiencing pain here? And you can't explain it? And it's just unexplainable pain, maybe a health issue, maybe a financial issue, maybe a relational issue, but it's just unexplainable. And you ask yourself, what do I do with this? How do I handle this? Or maybe it's not unexplainable pain, maybe it's unreasonable people. Now don't look at anybody, okay? Don't nudge anybody. But maybe what has happened is life has brought to you unreasonable people. Maybe you would say, you know what, Dwight, I'm married to one. Or I live with one. or my father is unreasonable, or my mother is unreasonable, or my boss is unreasonable. But life brings not only unexplainable pain and unreasonable people, but it also brings unmanageable circumstances. Things that's out of our control. Things that you and I do not have any control over. And I'm sure that here today, many of us would say, you know what, Dwight? I'm not only experiencing one of these, I'm experiencing all of them. And my world is falling apart. Well, I'm glad that you're here. Because Jesus wants to teach you and I how to pray. Because we live in a broken world. We live in a world of where it doesn't work right. And it is loaded with unexplainable pain, unreasonable people, and unmanageable circumstances. And so I'm sure that some of you are here today and your heart is broken. And maybe you're asking, where is God in the midst of my pain? Where is God in the midst of my troubled marriage? Where is God in the midst of this unmanageable circumstance that I didn't cause? It was a choice of somebody else. Where is God in all of this? And the fact of the matter, I think that all of us would agree that most of the time when we find ourselves in one of these situations, we don't handle it very well. I mean, what did we learn about the Taliban? Okay, when they experienced pain or unmanageable circumstances, whatever, you know what they did? They blew up the Twin Towers. That's what happened with them. What happens in the U.S. when people get angry and frustrated and things don't go their way and they think that things are out of their control? We end up burning buildings and we end up burning cars. What happens in our family when we experience unexplainable pain or unreasonable people or unmanageable circumstances? You know what many times we do? We burn down our house. We burn down our family. What do we do as individuals when we find life bringing us unexplainable pain, unreasonable people, and unmanageable circumstances? We have a tendency to burn down our relationships. Our faith in God, we just burn it up. Our faith in other people, we just burn it up. And what I want to say to all of us here today is that's not the right response. The right response is to pray, Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love how the message reads, and I want to read it for us from Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Jesus is speaking, and here's how it's written. Here's what I want you to do when you have unexplainable pain, unreasonable people, unmanageable circumstances. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simple and honestly as you can manage. Goes on to say, the focus will shift from you to God, your heavenly Father, and you will begin to sense His grace. What's that mean? You'll begin to sense, you know what? I don't have answers, but I can handle this. Because His grace is the power that you and I need to face anything. Goes on to say this, the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques, check this out, for getting what you want from God. He goes on to say this, don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father, your good Father, that you are dealing with. Get this, and He knows better than you what you need. Wow. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. We talked about that last week. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Wow. That's what he's saying. When you face unexplainable pain, unreasonable people, unmanageable circumstance, you say, God, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Now, what is a kingdom? A kingdom is wherever a king reigns. And what I mean by that is it's when a king is actively exercising his power or whatever the king wants done. Let me give you a picture of this. 9 chances out of 10, okay, your car is your kingdom, right? You got all your mirrors set. You've got the stations on the radio set. You got the CDs in there set. You got your seat set at a certain level, right? Because it's your kingdom. You've exercised your power. And how do you like it when your spouse gets in there and changes the mirrors? How do you like it when somebody goes in and messes with your radio stations that you've already programmed? Whether it's your spouse or whether it's your son or daughter, or maybe your pops borrowed the car. You know what we do? Who's messed with my kingdom? Who's come in here and turned this thing upside down? See, that's your kingdom because you're exercising control. You're doing what you want done. If we're not careful, we take it from the car to the home. And from the home to the workplace. And we try to expand our kingdom and we try to be king and exercise our power and get what we want. And it doesn't work for us very well. You see, God's kingdom is wherever God is in action and God's will is done. That's God's kingdom. God's kingdom is wherever he is king. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. How do you know that he's within you? Because he's working in your life and his will is being done in you and through you. You see, Paul wrote the church in Rome and he was describing to them the kingdom of God. He said, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. You know, we kind of think that, right? The external, eating and drinking. Man, we're really living it up, aren't we? But eating and drinking doesn't deal with the unexplainable pain and the unreasonable people and the unmanaged circumstances. He goes on to say this, it's not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let me break this down for us, okay? The kingdom of God is righteousness. You know what that means? That means that we're in right relationship with God. And we're in right relationship with other people. And we behave right. You see, in the kingdom of God, there's no lying. There's no blaming. There's no gossiping. There's no pointing of fingers. That's not the kingdom of God. That's not right behavior. The kingdom of God is righteousness. You're in right relationship with God, and you're in right relationship with other people, and we behave right because he's king. We obey him. He goes on to say, it's peace. Peace what? I have a peace that surpasses all understanding because you know what? I'm not God. I'm just living in his kingdom. He's leading me. And guess what else I have? I've got joy. Joy. That's not dependent on my pain or unreasonable people or unmanageable circumstances. And here's what he says. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to the Father. And check this out. And receives human approval. The word approval there means close examination. That means that your family and my family have a right to examine me. Y'all okay? And to find out if the kingdom of God is within us. And how do they find out? Okay? Righteousness. Our relationships are good. Peace. We're not full of worry and anxiety and panic. Joy. What are you happy about? I heard that you went through this. I heard that happen. I heard that you lost your job. And what happens is you get and you receive human approval. They say, I want some of that. Can you tell me? Yeah, it's the kingdom of God. And that's my petition in my life, that I pray that the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his peace, and his joy will reign and rule in my life. Now, how do we get there? One word. You ready for this? Surrender. Surrender. Because, see, if you're king, that means God's not king. And that means it all falls on your shoulders. It all falls on my shoulders. And so when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what we're saying is, God, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. And so what does that surrender look like? Let me give you some things, okay? Here's the first thing I would say that it means. It means I give up control. It means I give up control. If you want the kingdom of God in your life, you're going to have to give up control. This is why many of us don't experience peace. We don't experience joy. We don't behave right. Because I know what I want and I'm going to go after it. But look what the psalmist writes, okay? Let go of your concerns. Let go of your unexplainable pain, your unreasonable people, your unmanageable circumstances. Let go of your concerns. Then you will know that I am what? I am God. And I rule the nations. And I rule the earth. You see, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you faced this past week. I don't know what you're going to face this next week. I don't know what you're going to face this year. And you don't either. But here's what I want you to know. God wants you to do this. He wants you to let go of your concerns. Because in letting go of your concerns, you'll experience his rule and his reign and his kingdom, and you will know that he is God. You see, when situations in your life or my life get out of control, we usually do one or two extremes, okay? And one of the extremes is we try harder to control what's out of control. You ever done that? Have you ever tried to control a teenager that's out of control and you try harder and harder to do it? You know what it does? It kills you. And it ruins the relationship. And so what happens is many times when things are out of control, we try harder to control it. And yet some of us do the exact opposite. You know what you do? You don't try to control anything. You just give up. And you have a pity party and you invite yourself. And both of those responses are foolish. They don't work. And so instead of being a victim, instead of being hyper-controlling, what you need to do is you need to pray this prayer. God, I give up control. See, let me share something with you. Here's what I believe. You may not believe this, okay? And some of you, your mechanisms are already kicking in, okay? Because you struggle with surrender. The number one reason you're under stress is because you're in conflict with God. You're trying to control stuff that you can't control. And it just stresses you out. God did not create you and God did not create me to be the king of the universe. Much less the king of our home. Or even the king of our life. You see, what happens is you can't control your spouse. Do you know that? Do you know you can't control your kids? Do you know you can't control your job? Do you know you can't control your future? Do you know you can't control your past? Any of that stuff. And the more you do that, okay, the more you do that, and the more that you and I try to do that, we're working in opposition of who God is. We're in conflict with God. And you know what? Here's what I have learned in my own life, and I don't do this perfectly, but every time I've got in a conflict with God, I lose. Okay? I've never won a conflict with God because what happens is it wears you out. It wears you out. You will be overcome with fatigue and it will drain the life out of you. And the reason why some of us feel overwhelmed and overloaded, you're trying to control way, way, way too much. And you think it all depends on you. But the fact of the matter is, if you want a deep, satisfying peace of mind in the midst of unexplainable pain, unreasonable people, unmanageable circumstances, you got to give up control. Now, how do you know when you've done that? You know that you're surrendered to God when you rely on Him to work out things instead of manipulating people. You know that you're surrendered to God when you rely on God instead of forcing your own agenda. You know that you're surrendered to God when you don't have to control the situation. You don't have to be in charge. And instead of trying harder, what you and I need to do is trust more. You see, surrender hearts show up when you and I are not self-serving. Surrender hearts show up when you and I don't edge other people out. Surrender hearts show up when you and I don't demand our rights. And every time you and I choose to surrender, guess what we do? We experience the kingdom of God. We experience righteousness. We experience His peace. We experience His joy. And other people approve of that, and they want that. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. That is, surrender means I learn to be content. I learn to be content. And so how you do that, and this is a process, because let's look at this verse and I'll come back and make some comments. I have learned to be satisfied with the things I have and with everything that happens. See, it's something that you and I learn, because it's not natural for Dwight to be content. It's not natural for you to be content. And our world plays on that. It plays on your discontentment and my discontentment. And so what we have to do is, instead of focusing on what we don't have and what didn't happen, we need to be grateful for what we do have. And that doesn't come natural for me. And truth be known, it doesn't come natural for you. And here you have the Apostle Paul. He says, I've learned to be satisfied with the things I have, and with everything that happens. Why? Because it's not my kingdom. It's not my kingdom. He goes on to say this. He says, I know how to live when I am poor, and I know how to live when I have plenty. Wouldn't that be great? You know what he's saying? He says, I've learned how to live. Do you know how to live? See, I think most of us would look around and we would say, we don't know how to do life very well. Look at us. We don't have right relationships. We don't have peace. We don't have joy. And he says, I know how to live, whether I have a whole lot or whether I have little. He goes on to say this. He says, I have learned the secret of being happy. Check this out. At any time in everything that happens. Wow, it's something that we learn. It's a process. It's a process. But I have to surrender, and that means that I have to learn. And God will take you through a process. God will take me through a process. He'll take us through a process as a church. It says, hey, you know what? I'm going to teach you how to be content. I'm going to teach you how to be content. So that you're not relying upon your circumstances. You're not relying upon relationships. You're not relying upon how well you think that life is going. You might say, Dwight, how do I do this? Well, he gives us the answer. Here's what he says. I can do all of this, or I can do all things through Christ, because he gives me strength. He gives me strength. And how do you get strength? See, listen to me, okay? Surrender doesn't weaken you. Surrender strengthens you. You ought to write that down. Because you don't believe that. We don't believe that. Surrender doesn't weaken you. Surrender strengthens you. And what happens, it allows you and I to learn how to be content. What is contentment? I'm going to use it like this. You don't need more to be happy. You just don't need more to be happy. Wouldn't that be something? We'd start living within our budgets. We wouldn't have financial crisis. Our house wouldn't be a hotel, right? And so what happens is, if the kingdom of God's going to come in Dwight's life, if the kingdom of God's going to come in your life, I got to give up control and I got to learn how to be content. David wrote it like this. This is unbelievable. Surrender yourself to the Lord and wait patiently for him. Let me ask you a question. Are you paying for something that you didn't wait for? Huh? You know, I tell my kids all the time, I didn't get married till I was 28 years old, and it wasn't from not trying. Man, I tried so hard to get married. You ever been there? Tried to force relationships. I was on more blind dates than Carter's got liver pills. And thank God he protected me from that. Because some of us are here, and you know what? We wish we would have waited a little bit longer. But you know what? All my friends were getting married. And so, you know what? That's exactly what I did. And he says here, surrender yourself to the Lord and wait patiently for him. Why? Because he knows what you need before you even ask. Some of us, because we have a credit card, we can purchase things without even asking God for them. And maybe if you would ask God, maybe if I would ask God, he would give them to us. But we got our kingdom. And we want to fill it up. Here's the third thing, and that is this. Surrender means I set aside my plans. I set aside my plans. You see, one of the most important ways that you and I can practice courageous humility is to surrender your plans to God. And what happens is, many times, if we're not careful, if we're the king of our life, we make plans without consulting God, and then we get angry with God because they don't work out. God said, you never checked in with me. You didn't ask me. And we have a tendency to assume that our plans are his will. And so what happens is we get frustrated with God because we're asking him to do something that he hasn't agreed upon. You ever done that? Huh? That's why you have to check your expectations. Maybe that other person didn't agree to do what you want them to do. And so now you're mad and you're angry because you had certain plans. And so now you get into the controlling and manipulating stage because you want it so bad. And so I've got to lay aside my plans. You see, what happens is surrendering says, God, I'm going with your plans, not my plans, because you know what is best. Here's what Paul says in Romans 6:13. Give yourself to God. Surrender your whole being to him to be used for righteous purpose. So what you do is you just say, God, you know what? I lay aside my plans. You know what? You made me. You shaped me. You know my personality. You know everything about me. And I set aside my plans because you want the very best for me. See, that's why your view of God is the most important thing about you. Because if you don't believe that God is great and good and generous, you won't set aside your plan. I tell our kids all the time, the day that you come to the conclusion that God is wiser than you is the day that your life gets a whole lot easier. Here's what Jesus had to say about the kingdom. He says, God will give you all you need from day to day if you will live for him and make the kingdom of God your priority or your primary concern. If I will make God the primary concern in my life, God, I want you to be king. And I give up control. And I want to learn how to be content. And I will set aside my plans for you. What God says is, I will take care of you. Now listen to me. Listen to me, okay? Why would you want to serve or surrender to anybody else? You're a fool. You're a fool. When God says that, you know what? I'll give you everything you need for day to day if you will live for me and make my kingdom your primary concern. You're a fool. Because if you're not surrendering to God, if I'm not surrendering to God, don't think that you're not surrendering to somebody. You are, and it's your kingdom. Who would turn this down? I don't know. Let me give you this last one as we wrap up, and it's this. Surrender means I trust my future to God. I trust my future to God. I don't know what next week holds. I don't know what a year from now holds. I don't know what 5 years from now holds, but I know who holds the future. I know it's God because it's His kingdom. And you know what my petition is? God, thy kingdom come and thy will be done in Dwight's life as it is in heaven. Set things right in Dwight's life. And if you set things right in Dwight's life and if he allows you to do that by surrendering to him, whatever the future brings, I can handle. The unexplainable pain, the unreasonable people, the unmanageable circumstances. I don't have to burn down my family. I don't have to burn my relationships. I don't have to go crazy because I'm not in control. See, Solomon said it like this. He said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. He will make your paths straight. He will make the future straight. And that literally means that he will make it so clear to you and I that you can't miss it. But you have to acknowledge him. Not in some of your ways. God, I don't want you to be king. I'd like for you to be prince, though. No, in all your ways, acknowledge God and he will direct your path. You don't think that's a stress-free life? That's a stress-free life. To be able to say, God, I'm just going to trust you. Tell me what you want me to do. You want me to stay? You want me to go? What do you want me to do? You see, here's what I want you to get in all of this. Surrender doesn't weaken you. It strengthens you. See, we think that it weakens us. I'm going to be a strong man. Nobody's going to push me around. Nobody's going to do this. Nobody's going to do that. I want to be a strong woman. We've had enough weak women. Y'all okay? And what you're saying is, I'm going to protect my kingdom. I'm going to protect my kingdom. And you know what? It'll destroy you. It'll wear you out. Emotionally, physically, relationally, spiritually, in every way, it will wear you out. I want to close with this. And this is just tremendous. I want you to take this in, okay? The Lord takes care of those who obey him. Another way of saying it, the Lord takes care of those who are fully surrendered to him. And he gives them what? Eternal rewards that last for a day? A week? A month? A year? No. A decade? No. He gives them eternal rewards that last forever. Check what else? They will survive through hard times. I'm not going to fall apart. I'm not going to crack up. You know why? Not my kingdom. Not my problem. It's his kingdom, and I'm just asking him to bring what he's doing up there down here. They will survive hard times. You know what we do when we have hard times? We burn things, right? We get angry, we get mad. The Taliban, you know, in the U.S., you know, we want to demonstrate our anger and our frustration. And the fact of the matter is we do it with one another. And check this out. And we'll have more than enough, even in a time of famine. Wow. I mean, come on, gang. Isn't that attractive? Isn't that attractive? To be able to say, hey, God, you know what? I want to surrender you. I want your kingdom to come. In my life, in my home, in my workplace, as it is in heaven. Okay, Dwight, guess what? Then you have to get off the throne. And I got to be king. And you have to give up control. And you have to learn to be content, knowing that I will give you whatever you need at the right time. And you got to lay aside your plans. And you got to trust me for the future. Wow. See, right now, at this moment, there's a war going on inside of you. And it's a war of two kingdoms. It's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of you. And you're not getting the flu. Okay? The reason why you feel the way that you feel right now is because of God. It's called conviction. And you say, what's the prescription, Dwight? I don't feel very well. I feel uncomfortable. Let me tell you the prescription. Surrender. Surrender. And so the band's going to come out in a moment, and they're going to lead us in a song. And I know that God has spoken to you. Not a doubt in my mind, because I know he's spoken to me. You say, Dwight, you're reading my mail. No, I'm just sharing the mail that I have. And today, as the band comes and sings, I'm going to ask you to physically do something. And you can just remain seated if you want to. You can stand if you want to. But I want you, if you're saying to God, God, I want to surrender to you, I just want you to turn your palms up. And you're just saying to God, God, you know what? It's all yours, man. I'm not holding anything. My marriage, my kids, my finances, my health, my job, my education, my career, I'm not holding. It's yours, God. It's all yours. Maybe for some of you, maybe that's not enough. Maybe for some of you, it's this. God, you've arrested me today. And I just want you to know I'm yours. And I'm telling you, it'll be the most freeing time you've ever experienced, because the shift moves from you to God. You see, God takes full responsibility for the man or the woman who's fully surrendered to him, because his kingdom is at work. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you're that good father. We thank you that you know what we need before we even ask. And God, we know that the bad father wants to lie about you and cause doubt, that you can't be trusted, that you're not faithful, that you're not caring, that you're not all-powerful. But help us to realize the lie, and help us to choose to believe that you are who you say you are, and that you will do what you have promised to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media. And don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message. And we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.